This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app, this is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. I am your host, Dom Salvia. Got Jess P.S. over on the board. You can be a big part of this program anytime. Talk or text 855-752-4842. Jazzed as hell to introduce to you our co-host of the day, Matt Rothschild, a friend of ours. You may know him from the Progressive Magazine back in the day, Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, and of course, a Civic Media contributor. Matt, welcome to the show, man.
Oh, thanks, Dom. It's always fun to be with you on Wednesday afternoons.
Yeah, man, makes the week go so much smoother. Lots going on in the news today. Matt, of course, the president-elect is getting his due, man. His folks are getting their senatorial, what are they called, advice and consent. Today, Pam Bondi, one of many, up talking to the senators. We're going to get into some of that as well. We got the inauguration coming up. Michelle Obama not attending, but apparently the other living presidents will be. We'll talk about that as well. Some of the entertainment has been released for the inauguration. We'll talk about that as well. But let's start out with the news of the day. Hamas and Israel have agreed to a ceasefire hostage deal. Certainly good news. But I got to tell you, Matt, as I looked at some of the details of this, it comes in phases. You know, there's different parts to it. And what concerns me about any kind of deal like this that's stretched out over time is that, generally speaking, time kills deals, man. You know what I mean? If you don't get the deal done, time kills all deals, as I say in sales. What's your, of course, this is good news, no doubt about it, but it doesn't get it all done immediately. What was your initial reaction, Matt?
My initial reaction was great relief. I mean, there's been so much suffering on both sides of this. It was a good thing that we finally got a ceasefire anyway, at least for 42 days. I hope that will be extended. I hope the war is over. You're right to be skeptical. Who knows? The devil's in the details. We haven't heard from Netanyahu. The Israeli cabinet's got to approve it. Netanyahu has, in the past, moved the goalpost at the last minute and wrecked some of these negotiations. And Netanyahu and Hamas, let's remember, these two folks, I mean, the Hamas leaders and Netanyahu, had a sickening symbiosis where they didn't care how many innocent people got killed. Hamas leaders knew that when they attacked grotesquely on October 7th, killing 1,200 people, including 46 Americans. They knew then that Israel would respond tenfold or a hundredfold, and that's what's happened. And Netanyahu didn't care how many Palestinians he killed in response. And the number that I saw when I was doing a little research this afternoon was 46,000 Palestinians, including 18,000 children.
Oh, my God.
And that's just horrifying. And my wife and I would be watching the news and just, you know, seeing these reports about starving Palestinians for the last several months. Mm-hmm. At least humanitarian aid's going to get through. And that's a relief. Biden deserves some credit here. I mean, he did claim rightfully that he had proposed this deal back in May, that the outlines of the deal are the same as they were back in May. But my question is, what took so long?
Right.
And how many people had to die since May because of this? I mean, I heard Blinken with my own two ears say back in June that they're on the 10-yard line. That's not a great offense to take 7-8 months to get 10 yards.
Right.
And all the people who died as a result. So those are basically my reactions on that. I saw Biden's press conference live. I thought he was pretty good, but kind of embarrassing too at the same time. No one else seemed to pick up on this, but I heard him mix up Hezbollah and Hamas in the first sentence.
That. Yeah.
I heard him mix up Kuwait and Qatar in the third sentence. I mean, come on, man.
Some of the reporting from ABCnews.com. Now, this was negotiation between Hamas and Israel, with the United States, Egypt, and Qatar acting as intermediaries. The agreement will go into effect on Sunday, according to Qatari officials. The deal will take place in three different phases, each of which will last for 6 weeks, according to the officials. Phase one of the ceasefire has been finalized, while phases two and three are still in draft phase and will be finalized after the first 6 weeks are complete. So the first full details of what phase one is. Israel will withdraw to the east away from the densely populated areas, and more aid, as Matt mentioned, will be allowed into Gaza. Coordination is currently underway to open the Palestinian side of the Rafah border crossing to allow the entry of international aid into Gaza, according to Egyptian security sources. Israel forces will stay at the border. Now, 33 hostages being held in Gaza will be released, starting with women, children, and the elderly. Biden said that Americans will be part of the initial hostage release. Three Americans are believed to be alive in Hamas custody. Four others are believed to be dead. Hundreds of Palestinian prisoners being held by Israel will also be released in exchange for the hostages, Biden said. We have some sound from Biden, but here's one of the quotes. During phase one, the Palestinians can also return to their neighborhoods in all areas of Gaza, and the surge of humanitarian assistance into Gaza will begin, and innocent people can have greater access to these vital supplies.
Well, what's left of those neighborhoods?
What I'm saying. I mean, what's left of Gaza?
Holy cow.
Hey, congratulations. It's like you're going home in California with the wildfires. What are you going home to? There's nothing left in lots of these
going
areas.
Going home to rubble.
Going home to rubble and ash. We do have some sound, Matt. Let's play it for the people. Just doing all the hard work. I mean, there's a lot. You work hard. I got to appreciate it. I mean, there's a lot of sound, lots of bits and pieces to kind of pull together to do this fine show. And Jess, you are a big part. Let's get to President Joe Biden on the Israel-Gaza ceasefire hostage deal. The framework, Matt referenced, going back to May. Cut number one, please.
The elements of this deal were what I laid out in detail this past May, which was embraced by countries around the world and endorsed overwhelmingly by the U.N. Security Council.
Great. Matt, what took so long, man? I mean, it's good news, but certainly still frustrating. And I just got to say, Matt, I mean, I was born in 71. The hostages in the Middle East is like normal part of life. I mean, how long have we been dealing with hostages in the Middle East and peace negotiations in the Middle East, so on and so forth? This has been going on certainly since my lifetime. And I get it. These are long-term struggles and whatnot. But come on. It seems like it's on repeat, Matt. I keep hearing deals for hostages, deals for hostages, deals for hostages.
Yeah, I mean, I'm old enough to remember the Six-Day War back in the late 60s. There were a few moments over the last, holy smoke, 6 decades, where it seemed like things would move forward when you had the agreement with Sadat of Egypt. Of course, then he got assassinated. Or when you had
and that was by Yasser, if I may, Yasser, that assassination of Sadat was by like hardliner Israelis, right?
No, Sadat was the Egyptian military themselves turning their guns.
Yes, I remember seeing.
In college, I remember seeing the footage of the Egyptian military turning their guns on their leader. That was crazy.
Yes.
But Yitzhak Rabin, this was another hopeful moment when he and Arafat came to the White House. It looked like, you know, things were moving in the right direction. And then Rabin got killed by a right-wing Israeli. And things went downhill after that. And this isn't the solution to the Israel-Palestine crisis that we've been dealing with at least since 67, and some would say since 48. But at least it's a good day for people who've been suffering for a long time to get a little relief and to get some humanitarian aid in there. But yeah, it's one of those things like, you know, budget negotiations that it's just always there.
It is. And you know, it's a good day today. And so in those days, we relish those days and we remember and we hope we have more good days ahead. But unless there's some fundamental changes in mindset, philosophy, and whatever the case is in the Middle East, I mean, you know, how long until this happens again? But let's not be negative on it. Let's hear some more from the president of the United States talking about the Americans that will be released. Cut number two, please.
I'm proud to say Americans will be part of that hostage release in phase one as well. And the vice president and I cannot wait to welcome them home.
Yeah.
Well, there were, that might have been the first time that Kamala Harris smiled there during that little brief press conference. She was stone-faced along with Secretary of State Blinken, who looked like he needs some sleep. They were standing next to Biden when he was giving that live press conference. I want to hear more from Kamala Harris about anything, including about this deal. I want to hear from her, as I think she's still the putative leader of the Democratic Party. And the Democratic Party just seems at a loss here as to how to respond to anything.
Seemingly organizationally, perhaps a little rudderless, Matt. We'll get into that as well. Talk about the DNC. There is a new candidate running for the DNC. But let's stay on right now. The deal between Hamas and Israel, ceasefire hostages deal. I think we're on cut number three, please.
Indeed. This is what you've already read, but now we can actually hear it in Biden's own voice.
During phase one, the Palestinians can also return to their neighborhoods in all the areas of Gaza. And the surge of humanitarian assistance into Gaza will begin. And the innocent people can have a greater access to these vital supplies.
And again, what's left of those neighborhoods. Let's play a couple more of the president talking about the deal today. Cut number four, please.
There are a number of details to negotiate to move from phase one to phase two. But the plan says if negotiations take longer than 6 weeks, the ceasefire will continue. As long as the negotiations continue.
A lot of ifs.
But, you know, that's a bit of an out, isn't it?
Yeah,
as well,
yeah.
We don't want to negotiate anymore. Ceasefire's over. So that's a concern right there.
And again, anytime you have a three-phase, 18-week deal? I mean, 6 plus 6 plus 6 is 18. That's assuming things go as planned, as predicted. We're still talking a couple of months. And again, we got to take the positives as we can, but I remain skeptical. Time kills deals, and until every one of these hostages are home, until the Palestinians can return to what is left of their homes, and then what's next then? You know what I'm saying? Great. So we got past the last crisis, just like we did. Well, we haven't yet. The crisis before that, and the crisis before that, and the crisis before that, going back decades. You know, we got to change something here. Right. We got to change the trajectory of what's happening, or we'll be having these conversations again in another couple of years, another 10 years. Folks, you're listening to the Dom Salvia Show. My guest host today, Matt Rothschild. We got Jess P.S. on the board. You folks on the lines, 855-752-4842. We're going to come back with more of the sound of President Biden on this historic day.
Not to put too fine upon it, say I'm the only bee in your bonnet. Make a little birdhouse in your soul. And while you're at it, leave the nightlight on inside the birdhouse in your soul. Not to put too fine upon it, say I'm the only bee in your bonnet. Make a little birdhouse in your soul.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. Co-host today, Matt Rothschild, joining me at the on the board. You folks on the lines and the text as well, 855-75-CIVIC. We're talking about the details of the ceasefire between Israel and Hamas, a three-phase, three-pronged plan, Matt. A little bit from the reporting, and then we'll go back to some of the sound from President Joe Biden today. We talked about phase one. Here's what ABC is reporting regarding phase two. Phase two, in 42 days, announcement of sustainable calm, permanent cessation of military operations and all hostilities to be implemented before the exchange of remaining Israeli male hostages, civilians, and soldiers for an agreed-upon number of prisoners in Israeli jails, and the complete withdrawal of Israeli forces from the Gaza Strip. That's phase two in the 42 days. Phase three, Once again, the remains and bodies held in the possession of both parties will be exchanged after identification. The reconstruction of Gaza will start and last for 3 to 5 years, including homes, civilian buildings, infrastructure, with compensation for all affected individuals under the supervision of several countries and organizations, including Egypt, Qatar, and the United Nations, and the opening of the crossings and allowing the movement of people and goods.
But it doesn't say, Dom, does it? And this, who's going to rule? Who's going to rule the, you know, the Gaza Strip? Is that, is Hamas going to rule it? Is Qatar, Egypt, and the United Nations going to rule it? You know,
yeah, what States going to rule it? I mean, government coming out of the Gaza Strip right now. I mean, that's a great question, and is it not addressed?
Netanyahu has consistently said the war is not going to be over. Unless Gaza no longer runs, unless Hamas no longer runs Gaza. So, I mean, that's a big question.
They're huge question. And again, that's a concern. So lots of things to be ironed out yet, but we got phase one underway. So here is the president talking about the phase two exchange. Cut number five, please.
When phase two begins, there will be an exchange for release of the remaining living hostages, including male soldiers. And all remaining Israeli forces will be withdrawn from Gaza, and the temporary ceasefire will become permanent.
President Biden speaking today. Let's play cut number six, please, Jess.
There was no other way for this war to end than with a hostage deal. And I'm deeply satisfied this day has come, finally come, for the sake of the people of Israel and the families waiting in agony.
And for the sake of the Palestinians, too. Holy smokes, man.
For the sake of the world, folks. I mean, can't we all just get along? Didn't somebody say one time? I mean, how many times do we have to run this playbook? You know what I mean? Right. This has been it's really tough for me to be positive about it when I feel like this is, you know, 10 years ago before that, 10 years before. I mean, this has been a continual historical turning of the page, and next thing you know, there's hostilities again, more hostages taken, so on and so forth, over and over, et cetera, et cetera. You see what I'm saying?
Let me just jump in there, because this is always the occupation of Gaza and the West Bank by the Israeli government has always bothered me on so many levels, on the moral level, on the legal level, on the humanitarian level, but also on the strategic level, because there is this concept of strategic procrastination. That's what Netanyahu called.
Right.
We are never going to give these folks a decent state of their own, and we're just going to stall and stall and stall and oppress and oppress and oppress. But what is the strategy there? What really was the long-term strategy there? There was no long-term strategy, because, you know, so long as you're oppressing people, they're going to resist, and their friends and brothers and cousins are going to resist. So there was no real solution there in this strategic procrastination idea. And it came back and bit Netanyahu on the backside, though he, you know, was able to use it as to his political advantage. And it certainly bit the 1,200 people who died on October 7th. Pretty hard, and it bit the Palestinian people pretty hard. I mean, there always has needed to be a settlement, a decent settlement with a decent Palestinian state. And I hope this ceasefire will lead to that, but I don't really see the outline for that right now.
Well, not with the incoming administration, who has said time and again that they don't believe in a multi-state solution.
Yeah, there's nothing in this that refers to a two-state solution. As mentioned, Matt, there's nothing in here that says how the Palestinians will govern the Gaza Strip. And if it's going to be Hamas, well, Netanyahu's not going to go along with that. The question, we have a question. Let's throw this one out there and we can continue on. Folks, you can join us as well. 855-752-4842. How much credit should Trump get for this? Interesting question. Let's hear it. Cut number seven, please, Jess.
How much credit do you give to the Trump team for this deal? Trump is already taking credit for it.
Well, you know, this is the exact framework of the deal I proposed back in May. Exact. And we got the world to endorse it. Secondly, it's America's support for Israel that helped them badly weaken Hamas and its backers and create the conditions for this deal. And thirdly, I knew this deal would have to be implemented by the next team, So I told my team to coordinate closely with the incoming team to make sure we're all speaking with the same voice, because that's what American presidents do.
I mean, yes, I mean, I hope the incoming administration will abide by, follow through, and support this deal as well. Call me a little skeptical, given the nature of the incoming administration. But if it was Biden with the incoming administration advice and consent, you know, who knows? You got to assume that they know that there's going to be a change in leadership. So if that's the case, fine. Do we have any more? Is that the last one?
That's the last one. There was a right at the end of that press conference, a journalist called out and asked, Mr. President, who deserves credit for this, you or Trump? And he had already walked away from the microphone. So he comes back just a little bit within range and goes, is that a joke? But it wasn't clean enough for me to cut.
Yeah, that was Biden saying, no, Trump doesn't deserve credit. I deserve the credit. But to me, who deserves the credit doesn't really matter. We needed to get to the ceasefire. And Biden does deserve a lot of credit for establishing this and trying to get it across the finish line. And he finally got it across the finish line. So I give him some kudos. I just wish it had happened 6 months ago, 8 months ago, 10 months ago, 12 months ago.
Wish we wouldn't have to be in the situation again. And if things don't change, we will be in the situation again in not too far a time. Folks, this is the Dom Salve Show, 855-752-4842. Taking your calls next, 855-75-CIVIC.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show. Thank you for being a part. You can join us, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Got Jess P.S. on the board. My co-host for the day, Matt Rothschild, formerly of the Progressive Magazine Wisconsin Democracy Campaign and friend of ours. Thank you, Matt, for joining us. The topic as of the moment, the Israeli-Hamas deal, a ceasefire, hostage exchange, and some of the additional reporting here. Now, Trump is also taking credit. So we heard some sound of Joe Biden taking credit. Trump's also taking credit. The Independent is reporting as such. The president-elect argued in a Truth Social post that the agreement expected to be formally confirmed later Wednesday could have only happened as a result of our historic victory in November. Another quote, a signal to the entire world that my administration would seek peace and negotiate deals to ensure the safety of all Americans and our allies. I'm thrilled American and Israeli hostages will be returning home to be reunited with their families and loved ones. Let's see, a couple more of the quotes. The outgoing Biden administration described working tightly with the Trump team to seal the deal. Again, according to the reporting at The Independent, earlier this week, White House National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan told reporters that the Biden administration had coordinated very closely with the incoming Trump team to present a united message to all the parties, which says it is in the American national security interest, regardless of party, regardless of outgoing or incoming administration, to get this deal done as fast as possible.
Well, I'm glad they worked together to get it done, if that helped getting the thing done.
Right. I mean, ultimately, that's the point, right? Yeah.
And maybe Trump's got something there because, you know, he said, you know, if this thing isn't settled before I get in and, you know, the Gaza Strip is going to, all hell's going to break out.
All hell's going to break loose, right? Yes.
So, I mean, there is that too going on. But, you know, I'm still struck by the thing that you're struck by, Dom, which is, is this really going to lead to a grand solution where we don't have to deal with this problem every, you know, year, every 2 years, it blows up in our face or in the faces of the Palestinian people or the Israeli people? Because look at, you've got Governor Huckabee, who's going to be U.S. ambassador to Israel, who believes in a greater Israel, doesn't believe there is such a thing as the Palestinian people. You know, if the Palestinian people don't get a state of their own, there are going to be Palestinians, whether they're living in Palestine or not, who are going to be so outraged that, you know, their family's been, you know, dispersed and their uncles have been killed or their sons have been killed. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not going to give up this. They're going to be like, you know, Japanese after World War II or hiding out in the island still fighting the war. And is that something we want, especially with, you know, all sorts of weapons that are possible for people to get a hold of?
Yes. And again, it solves the immediate crisis, but it doesn't solve the problem. Right. And that's a concern. The New York Times has a headline, Matt: Gaza hostage deal could come as Trump takes office in echoes of 1981. The subheadline: dozens of American hostages held at the U.S. Embassy in Tehran for more than a year were freed just as Ronald Reagan was inaugurated.
Well, that suggests that that Trump was telling Netanyahu not to reach a deal while Biden was, you know, or Kamala Harris was running for president.
Gosh, that sounds familiar.
That would be
the direct analogy.
That would be the analogy because as it's understood, as I understand history, one of the reasons, one of the headwinds for Carter when he was negotiating or trying to get the hostages released was that the Reagan campaign behind their back, and I would say illegally, were also courting the Iranians and telling them that don't release the hostages until Reagan gets in. Because, of course, that would be a boost to the Carter administration right at the tail end of an election. And so if that were to be the case, and it seemingly history would indicate that the Reagan campaign purposefully delayed the release of American hostages for political reasons. That is not what happened here. What happened here, according to the reporting, is that this was a framework set in place by the Biden administration dating back to May. As far as I know, the Trump campaign has not been in contact. No reporting with Netanyahu saying, don't do this. And apparently the Biden administration and the incoming Trump administration, at least the transition team, have been working together to show a unified face on this as it pertains to the United States national security, which I think is a positive thing. So I think that headline is a little misleading, Matt. I don't think it's analogous at all.
Well, unless they've got some information that the Trump folks were telling Netanyahu to drag his feet, and Netanyahu was dragging his feet. That's a fact. I mean, he would continually, you know, make last minute changes that would scuttle the agreement after May that looked like it was about to happen and never happened till now. But I don't have the facts behind that. I mean, it does make me raise an eyebrow and wonder whether it was happening. But, you know, I'm a trained journalist. I don't want to go off saying it happened when I don't have any facts that say it happened.
There's no indication that that was, in fact, the case. 855-752-4842. Let's get to it. CJ perhaps has a different opinion on this topic. Hey, CJ, welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, Matt and Dom. Thanks for taking my call. Well, obviously, just broke pretty much everything down, but the irony that this has with the Carter administration with Iran and for 444 days tried to negotiate a release, and on the day of Ronald Reagan and peace through strength on his inauguration day, they were released because just like Ronald Reagan, Donald Trump is a man of his word, and he said, if you don't release them before I'm inaugurated, all hell will break loose. You've got the tape of that. I'm sure Jess can pull that up. And that was while Robert Lighthizer was standing next to him. And Biden claims for 8 months that he's negotiated this deal. Well, isn't it funny? You can look at the chronology. This is peace through strength and a Republican president. And it's now following the weakest president in America's history.
Okay, I'm going to stop you there, CJ. Allow me to retort, if I may, and Matt can jump in here as well. I just explained that why this is not the same, right? The Reagan campaign was secretly negotiating with Iran to not have the hostages released. Do you accept that as fact, CJ?
No.
Okay. No, I don't. Okay. Well, then maybe you should do a little research on that, my friend. It was not about Ronald Reagan coming in and then all of a sudden the Iranians all being so scared. It was that Reagan was reaching out behind the Carter administration's back to tell the Iranians to hang on to those hostages for political reasons, to make Reagan look strong so people like you would believe that. So basically, Ronald Reagan negotiated with terrorists to keep American hostages hostage longer than they perhaps should have been. Is that new news to you, CJ?
You don't think that it was like the threat that he gave the Taliban when he handed them the
picture? I'm asking you, is that news to you, CJ? Is that new information for you about Ronald Reagan's dealing with the Iranian during the hostage crisis? Did you know that, CJ, or is that new to you?
October 7th.
So he didn't know that. Matt, what do you think?
My understanding is that Reagan sent his designee to be CIA director, William Casey, to talk to the Iranians prior to the election, tell them, you know, slow walk this thing. Don't make a deal with the Carter administration. And that was a treasonous thing to do. It was an illegal thing to do. No one has the right to negotiate for the United States other than the chief executive and his people. And you know, think of the hostages who had to stay there longer because of the shenanigans that Casey and Reagan were pulling just to make sure that they got elected. I mean, that was political tricks of the worst variety.
Of the worst kind. If it were to be analogous, it would be that Donald Trump would have delayed the release of this deal until after he was president. Like, you know, hey, make this happen on day one. Make it happen next week. Not during the Biden administration. But perhaps if the reporting is accurate and the Biden team and the Trump team were working in unison for this, great. I'm fine with that. You know, national security does not know politics. You know, our enemies are happy to see us at each other's throats, no doubt. But we're talking about national security. That's a national security for everyone. Now, that aside, and folks, you can join us as well, 855-752-4842. My concern, as I have articulated about this deal, it's a three-phase deal, 42 days, 42 days, 42 days. Time kills all deals. And the phase two and phase three, while there is an outline and has not yet officially been established. If someone like, and that won't be established, it will not happen before Monday. So if this, all you folks out there, all the megas out there that say, this is all because of Donald Trump's strength. Okay. You can have that. I disagree. I think it's a combination, at best, or primarily the current administration. But if you want to throw in the all hell will break loose threats, fine. Then ponder this. If phase two and phase three fall to the wayside, is that because of the weak leadership of Donald Trump? Are you going to take responsibility for those phases falling apart? Is that going to be Donald Trump's fault? Will that be his foreign policy blunders if phase two and phase three and 42 days and 42 days after that don't come to fruition? Are you megas, CJ, are you conservatives going to say that's Biden's fault or is that Trump's fault? You know what I mean? Who's taking responsibility?
And on the flip side, I mean, Biden does deserve credit for helping Israel deflect the Iranian incoming missiles and made Iran's military look bad. Netanyahu, and I hate to give him credit for anything, but he militarily did totally degrade not only Hamas, but Hezbollah. And so Hamas is in a totally weakened position here. And when you're in a weak position and, you know, you've got to at some point, you know, negotiate an end.
855-752-4842. Annie from Watertown, you will be next. Welcome, Annie. What do you got for us?
Yeah, that Iran thing, that was pretty well established by now. In fact, there was an election while the hostages were still there, and like 96% of the votes went for candidates that did back releasing them. And that was where the Iran-Contra and everything, Reagan's people, was it Casey, said, hold on to them, and we'll give you parts for you know, the American parts.
That was another Iranian. You know, it's amazing how the strong Republicans until they deal with terrorists.
It all started there, really. And now, even just recently in the past year or so, one of the guys on the plane to Iran came out. So, you know, there's no doubt about it anymore. But this deal with Hamas, Gaza, the Biden administration, of course, said there's going to be a transition here, you know. So he had somebody. He asked Trump to send somebody, and he sent a real estate guy. So Trump knew dang well that there had been an agreement approaching being, you know, settled on, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. That's why he could come out and say, oh, you know, make this big threat and then take the credit and make it look like. And people like CJ will just fall for that.
Good point. I mean, certainly, Matt, Trump saw the writing on the wall. They know there were ongoing negotiations. This has been going on for, you know, well over a year, at least back to May. So it's not a big stretch for someone like Donald Trump to make a claim like that in order to perhaps garner some credit for it.
Yeah, and let's be real. I mean, Trump, you know, claims credit for the sun coming up in the morning. Yeah. So that's just who he is.
Well, and that's the thing, though. If this deal, if phase two and phase three don't come around, that's going to be entirely under the Donald Trump administration. And hopefully that does happen. Hopefully we have a longer-term solution where we're not back here in another 3 to 5 years talking about the next Israeli Hamas or whatever terrorist organization or organization will be, you know, claiming hostages at that point. I mean, things need to fundamentally change on the ground in people's minds and people's hearts. And people have a right to self-determination. Until that happens, I mean, how would you act? If you had the boot of somebody else on you all the time, regardless of what your father or grandfather may have been involved in, I know I'd be fighting back. Folks, this is the Dom Salvia Show. Join us 855-752-4842. Lots of texters, lots of callers. We'll get to you next.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. That's not CCR, but it's a good song. Love the rock and roll version. Thank you, Jess. Got Matt Rothschild joining me today. You folks on the phones and the text as well, 855-75-CIVIC. Patrick from the 608 called Iran-Contra arms for hostages. Yes, there were during the Reagan years, Matt. I mean, if I recall, and I was... Man, I remember when Reagan came on. I was just a wee lad. You know, born in 71. I was, 8, 9 years old. And here comes this
making me feel bad, Don.
This slick old man coming in with the promises of a shining city on a hill and his strength, you know, gets the Iran hostages released. Well, we talked about that already. That was a backdoor deal to screw Carter. And in doing so, you know, they're keeping the hostages there for a little longer than they needed to be. But that aside, there was also the Iran-Contra deal, which happened later, Matt. That had nothing to do with the initial hostage crisis during the 1980 election.
You know, I was in Washington, D.C., working for Ralph Nader when Reagan was elected, and I saw the Reagan crew come to town, and the ladies in all their long fur coats and the right-wingers driving the big cars and the arrogance and swagger of the Reagan folks, and it was really obnoxious to watch. And then to see this kind of rosy interpretation of Reagan that's happened over the last 30 years, 40 years, people forget about the treasonous actions of William Casey and the Iranian hostages. People forget about the totally illegal Iran-Contra hostage deal. There was a embargo on aid to the Contras. The Contras were trying to overthrow the Sandinista government in Nicaragua, the socialist government in Nicaragua. The United States had been funding them, and they were committing gross human rights abuses. So there was a law passed that said the United States can't fund the Contras. Well, Reagan wanted to continue to fund the Contras, and he found a way to do it illegally by getting the, letting the Iranians fund the Contras and reimbursing the Iranians. That was the Iran-Contra deal, and Oliver North and all those folks. But that was another reason I always thought, that Reagan should have been impeached or prosecuted. And I remember when Reagan died, I was contacted by a local reporter saying, "What's your feeling on Reagan?" I said, "Well, he's a war criminal, some friends of mine I was playing basketball with, including some Republicans, were just horrified because everybody else was saying pious things about what a great man he was. And it was just a bunch of BS.
Well, and it's not that people forget, Matt. Some people just don't know. They don't know,
right.
And I'm not knocking CJ specifically in this case or those folks that are unaware of this particular part of history. And I didn't know it when I was 9 years old. And so, of course, I looked up and like, oh, this guy, man, what strength. And what kind of politics do you know when you're 9 years old? And I grew up out in the country. And so when you're on the playground, with the other 9-year-old kids in fourth and fifth grade, oh, no one likes Carter. Carter sucks. Well, you don't even know. You don't even know what inflation means. You know what I mean? So I got older, Matt. I grew up, and then I started reading a little bit and realized, oh, damn. Well, that was some shady stuff. And that never should have happened. And so the twist for all this, what did Reagan say? Oh, in my heart, I didn't do anything wrong. And my heart was in the right spot. Something along the lines. He basically played it off. But now I know that we did do it. Yeah, you did it. You did it. And folks still want to give Ronald Reagan a pass as some high and mighty, jelly bean eating. I mean, look at, the worshipfulness of Scott Walker with right. Ronald Reagan, man. I mean, it's weird. It can only be surpassed perhaps by the Trump infatuation with these Republicans, man.
Yeah, it wasn't exactly a cult, but it was a total whitewashing of history.
Yeah.
And then there were a couple of generations of young Republicans like Walker who, idealized and idolized Ronald Reagan. And maybe there's something psychological about the need to, idolize someone. Because, of course, Trump's got a lot of people idolizing him right now.
855-752-4842. I had to pull up the quote. A few months ago from Ronald Reagan, right? This is what he said back in the day. "A few months ago, I told the American people I did not trade arms for hostages. My heart and my best intentions tell me that's true, but the facts and evidence tell me it's not." What the hell does that even mean?
In my heart, I did not cheat.
That's right.
But the facts and the evidence of what occurred in the bedroom,
baby, I love you. I swear I didn't, but apparently you caught me, so I guess I did. But my heart tells me I didn't cheat on you. 855-752-4842. I mean, that's what the man said. I remember that quote when he said it live. I was watching it. Disgusting.
Yeah. Crazy what you can get away with a line like that.
Get away with, man. You can get away with trying to overthrow the government. I mean, this was small potatoes back then. Reagan wasn't shooting high enough. Let's get one more caller in here. Jim from Appleton, you are up. Welcome. What do you got?
Hi, guys. I just wanted to remind you that midsummer, I believe it was late July, Mr. Netanyahu took a trip to Mar-a-Lago and met with Trump for a day. Not that I'm saying that he was told school plays a game, but let's not forget that did happen.
Yeah, and thanks for the call and the reminder, Jim. Yeah, it was a little sketch. He wasn't the only world leader to go visit and kiss the ring down at Mar-a-Lago. Matt, we got 30 seconds. What do you think? Was there anything that came out of that meeting, in your opinion, based on what we're seeing today?
Oh, I don't know. I haven't seen the facts, and the fact that he was there isn't conclusive that there was a little deal made. I wait to see more reporting on it. If there was, I wouldn't be shocked. Nothing would shock me about Trump.
Nothing shocks us anymore. Folks, come back with us. Pam Bondi talking to the Senate today. We're going to get to that as well. 855-752-4842.
the national news cycle never stops. But it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.